Hello and welcome to Navcast episode 9. It's now May and time has passed since the last one, almost 2 months, so apologies for that because there's been an incredible amount going on in the Blood Bowl world and so lots and lots to talk about. This episode I'm just going to go over all the different things that have been happening in Blood Bowl that I've had experience of because I'm aware that some people might not have all of those things. There's all sorts of different things going on at the moment, which I'll cover in no special order, but hopefully there'll be something of interest to everyone. I'm quite excited because today I've just had permission to go to the World Cup. I was a bit dubious about it. I wasn't even going to ask the question of my head teacher, because I'm a teacher, and it's a bit tricky to get time off in the middle of the autumn term, because I need 3 days off to go to Italy. When the original window came through, I thought, no, I won't even ask the question because I asked the question last year to go to Euro Bowl and I won't do it again because it's pushing things a bit. And so the deadline passed and then a couple of exciting things happened, one of which that they started asking for refs and said that they were going to pay the accommodation for those who wanted to ref. And that seemed quite fun and it seemed like quite a good fit with the whole media malarkey. So I'll be there. I'll be wearing some sort of zebra shirt, hopefully, and wandering around and talking about rules to anyone who needs it, but I can't imagine that will be needed hugely. And I'll also be doing all sorts of media stuff, so I'll be taking photos, I might well be talking to people and recording interviews, and I'll certainly be writing up a lot of what's going on over the weekend, because there are lots of people who will be interested in Blood Bowl and the World Cup, but aren't able to make it on this occasion. So there'll be a vast amount of words written about the World Cup. You can be sure of that from me. As well as that, I'm also able to make it to the NAF Championships now, which is fantastic. I thought I was going to have a family occasion that I'd have to attend, but that got cancelled. So now I'm heading in a couple of weeks to the NAF Championships. So how can you get involved in those two things? The exciting thing about the World Cup is that registrations have now reopened, and actually they're going to be open until the beginning of July. A quick rules check later. Yes, it's the fact that there are another space for another 12 teams, which is another 72. So yeah, another 72 players, which takes it to 950 or 960 or so. So just below the 1,000. But I think we can probably spin it as 1,000 Blood Bowlers involved, because there will be a whole load of Italian people hanging around and helping out, and the likes of me reffing, and that will be lots of fun. There is also still time to apply to the NAF Championships in Nottingham on May the 23rd and 24th. It's £55, which gives you entry to the event, 6 quality games of Blood Bowl, and some nice food, lunch on both days, and an evening meal on the Saturday as well. There are a couple of people looking to share rooms on the Friday and Saturday nights still, and so you can even stay at the lovely hotel for a reasonably cheap price and get an amazing breakfast. It really is a feast of Blood Bowl. We've got around 130 people going at the moment, and there's usually a few late sign-ups. So that should be lots of fun. I'm staying with Jay Bone, who's host of the Double Skulls podcast, and I know he's certainly got plans to do some recording while he's there, and I'll try and do the same as well. I'm going to take my laptop up and we'll be tweeting my heart out while I'm there as well, and keeping the NAF.net blog nice and updated. I'm also hoping to take my camera and I'll be taking a photo thing, a light box, that's what it's called. I'm borrowing Spikey's light box and I'll be doing the best painted pictures as well. So those should appear reasonably swiftly. I'm on the NAF.net and then there'll be a NAF newsletter special, no doubt. And I'm sure that I'll be talking about the whole thing on a very soon episode of the NAFcast. It's only in 2 weeks' time, which is a little bit scary, because I did decide that I was going to do a dual entry. I did one of these last year. There were 6 last year. Hopefully there'll be a few more this time. Manticore Rich might have scared everyone off with his early disclosure of what he'd produced, which is this amazing dice thing, revolving statue malarkey, with a diorama of a dark elf and an orc, I think it is, and the orcs generally getting beaten up. So the competition will be stiff, but I think there are quite a few fancy painters around, of whom I am not one, but I do like to support these events, so I need to get my painting brushes out and finish off that one. I've done the green stuffing and I've done the modelling. I just need to apply a bit of finger paint to it in my usual style. As well as supporting that dual competition, I do like there to be all 24 teams at the NAF. I know some people don't really care about that and they just want everyone to take the strongest team they can and go for the win, which is lots of fun. And I sort of did that last year with my Lizard Men and ended up coming top 10, which was quite satisfying. But this year I'm going back to definitely trying to make up the 24. So far, I don't think anyone has declared for Slan, so I'm gonna nail my colours to the mast and I'm going to take Slan. Slan do struggle slightly in a low-skill format, and certainly a low-cost, low-skill format. So we'll see how that one goes. I'll probably not have any blitzers, as I didn't last time I took them. I sort of hope to take them to a higher points tournament, so I might well take them to Cake Bowl as well, especially depending on how the NAF Championship goes, because they do love Cake Bowl with a whole load of skills. I've painted up a Croxagore as well since the last time I used them, and so I might be able to squeeze a Croxagore into the build. But the Croxagore probably won't make the trip to Nottingham. I'll just go for a super speedy team with the four catchers and a few linemen doing the blitzing job. Yeah, lots of fun there from the Slan. If someone does declare Slan, I might go Chaos Dwarf. I'm sort of working through the teams that I'm updating with painting, basically. And I've painted some new Hobgoblins because my older ones were a bit too heavily armoured for Armour 7. And so I've picked up some Hobgoblins in the sale. I think they're the Grebo ones, and they fit quite nicely with my Chaos Dwarf team. As well as the NAF Championships, then, I've somehow managed to wangle myself three tournament weekends in a row of Blood Bowl, which is slightly unheard of. I've got the beginning and end of half term, and then the local one, which is Cake Bowl's big two-day tournament in Swindon on June the 6th. I've got the NAF Championships at the beginning of half term, and at the end of the half term, I'm having a bit of a different Blood Bowl experience again. When I head back to Nottingham, but this time for the UK BBL tabletop tournament. This is a new one for me. It's the tabletop version of the Cyanide League that I take part in. So the Cyanide League is pretty massive. They've got, I think, 12 divisions of 8 coaches each. And there's about 30 regulars head for a meetup in Nottingham. And so there should be quite a few there that I haven't met before, because a lot of the NAF tournaments that I go to now, I see lots of familiar faces. And so it'll be a bit of a change to see a few who are less familiar. I think there'll be a couple there that I recognise anyway, but that should be fun. That also gives me the chance to take Korn to a tournament, to a tabletop tournament, which I haven't done before. And so I will have played the 25, which is a bit less common than playing the 24. Obviously, it's not NAF sanctioned, and Korn wouldn't be NAF sanctioned anyway. It's not NAF sanctioned because it's not open to all. It's only open to people who've played in the UK BBL Cyanide League. And one of the stipulations for the NAF sanctioning is that you have to be open to all. But I'll take a little bit of pleasure in having played the 25. Obviously, some people have got there before me. I did ask the question on TFF, and Rolex, who's an incredibly prolific Italian coach, chipped in with the fact that he did it about a month after Cyanide released the Korn roster. So he beat me there by a good couple of years. Well done him. The other thing that's different between them, the first couple that are going to be in Nottingham, I'm going to be flying solo at, whereas the Swindon one, I'm going to be accompanied by my boys again, who are 8 and 10 and are having a marvellous time coming to NAF tournaments with me. Everyone's been fantastically welcoming of them. And they've put up a reasonably good game, I think. I do try and encourage them to use things like tactics, but they mostly try and do crazy stuff. Linus in particular found his niche at the tournament that I held recently in my house, because he took Skaven for the first time, and Skaven absolutely suited his play style, because he does try all sorts of crazy pickup throwing stuff, and if you have 5 gutter runners on the pitch, then that makes all those sort of things a little bit more easy. The tournament that I held at my house was called Birthday Bowl, and I don't have a massive house, but I did manage to squeeze 16 blokes of various sizes into it, onto 8 boards, obviously. And we played 4 games of Blood Bowl in a day, which I think some people found fairly knackering. I think that Harry Pete was struggling by the end, and he only had an hour and a half's drive down the motorway. But he made it home safely, so that was good news. I tried to put a little bit of a twist on it, not in terms of skills or team selection, in that it was 110 and just 5 normal skills and 1 double. But the twist that I gave it in a birthday-themed kind of way was that before each round you rolled a D12, and one player on your team was given either a mutation or a extraordinary skill. So regeneration or hypnotic gaze were the extraordinary skills that I went with, plus a load of the mutations. You got to roll the dice before you decided who it was given to, so you didn't end up with any silly things like snotlings with tentacles and stuff like that. And so there were a few abominations that were born. We ended up with a Skitter with 2 heads. We ended up with a Roxana with regeneration, which was quite fun. A Rat Ogre got Claw at the very beginning of the game, at the very beginning of the tournament, and was a bit of a monster after that because it had already got Block, I think. So that was good fun. And then there were some useless skills as well, very long legs. I was very pleased to get very long legs the first time because I'd taken a high elf catcher with leap just for that possibility. But then I got very long legs again, and so that was a bit useless, really. But it was a fantastic tournament. I had lots and lots of fun. Managed to feed everyone and get suitably inebriated, which was fantastic because it was in my house, so I didn't have to drive anywhere. And well done, Wobbett, for winning that one. He did a good job on there. It was quite a cool experience running my own tournament. I had been in sort of quite heavily involved with the Cake Bowl scoring and so on, and I'd helped out with the scoring at various tournaments before. But there really is nothing like running your own tournament, like keeping track of who's paid and who hasn't, and worrying about whether everyone's going to turn up or whether you're going to get to play. And all that sort of stuff. We did have some last-minute changes to personnel, and it was really nice to meet a couple of new people who I think were a bit nervous about just turning up to my house. But I think I managed to be reasonably welcoming, and it was a good fun tournament all in. What else is happening? I've just sent an email about the TFF Legacy team, which is taking shape quite nicely. It's a pro-elf team in blue colours, and we're up to about 6. Figures have arrived now. There's still time to be involved if you want to, with sideline figures mostly. We quickly filled up all the positionals. We got a whole fistful of linemen. We got all the stars. We got some reroll counters and things like that as well. And there's a wizard promised. The idea of this one is it's going to be in blue colours because of the Italian national team colours. And it's going to be delivered to Lucca. In Italy for the World Cup, which I can happily now bring it along to. I'm hoping to get a few more entries from the NAF Championship because there are a few people who have promised a figure who are going to be attending that. So it may well be that I come back with more figures than I left with. Should be cool. The On Fumble, there's various things happening. The Lutece Cup is the second incarnation of the NAF ranked tournament On Fumble, or NAF sponsored at the moment. I haven't quite got around to the NAF ranking yet, but a NAF sponsored tournament On Fumble. And this one used the rules of the Lutece Cup. Purple Goo is looking to the future now and is hoping that someone will suggest a theme for the next NAF tournament. The idea of these is that they borrow a rule set from one of the big tournaments around the world. And so we've done a UK one with the NAF Championship rules, and then we've done it one of the biggest European tournaments with the Lutece Cup rules. And so it might be nice to go further afield. So if anyone from Australasia or from America thinks that their tournament has a particularly good rule set, then please do get in touch with Purple Goo On Fumble, and he'll be happy to hear from you. You could end up with an online version of your tournament. Otherwise, it may well go to a major or so, but I don't know anything about those plans at the moment. So I'm going to do that whole non-speculating thing, because that's got me in trouble before. Staying on Fumble, there's been a fair amount of interest, really, in doing some recordings. I've tried this before with just me talking over some tournament games, sort of talking about tactics and the like. And there's a coach on there called Ehlers, E-H-L-E-R-S. You should look up on YouTube because he's done a whole load of commentaries as well, which are sort of slightly higher standard than mine. I think he has a better computer than me, possibly, and he's done a bit more practice with it. But what I tried more recently was recording a Skype call while you commentate on someone else's match. We did one to try, which turned out quite well, reasonably, as a first go, certainly. But people commented that we were just jabbering on about Blood Bowl in general rather than actually talking about the tactics. That was partly because of it was a pretty much a friendly match. It was a dead rubber in, I think, the sixth round of the Lutece Cup. And it was quite a fun match. It was Roxana and her Amazons against Dwarfs with a Death Roller. So it was quite fun, and Roxana did her usual thing. But I think there was appetite for a bit more tactical analysis. So bearing that in mind, Merrick and I, who goes by the think tank on Fumble, we did a half-hour commentary on a WMDs game. The WMDs, if people don't know about them, are a chaos team that play in the box, which is the matchmaking division of Fumble. And they're run by Bill Brasky, who is a phenomenon on Fumble, and he's played 10,000 Blood Bowl games on there. And it's absolutely crazy. His WMDs sort of go from strength to a bit less strength to a bit more strength, but they're basically a claw pom team who have a tactic whereby they destroy any team that's in front of them and then win the match. And it works, well, not surprisingly effectively, it works very effectively in that format. Both coaches had agreed to have their matches commentated on, which is fantastic. There is a group on Fumble where you can sign up to say that you're happy for your match to be commentated on, and I would really encourage everyone to do that. It's a bit slow going in terms of getting people going, in terms of getting the commentaries going, because you need to have sort of a spare evening, which I don't have very many of, but it'll be a slow burner, and the commentaries will appear as... And I think it's one of those things where, as other people get involved in it, they'll see that it's reasonably straightforward to do, and then they'll produce their own. The only drawback for me at the moment is that my computer is slowing down massively, because to get it going, I have to use some sort of screen recording device, such as Open Broadcast software. I also have to use a device for recording Skype, and then I have to have Fumble going as well at the same time. So that all tends to make my computer less happy than it might otherwise be. Returning to the WMDs game, Merrick and I managed to speak for half an hour, concentrating on the tactics and talking about the difference between claw palm, and it was against a pro elf team. And so it was a classic bash versus agility matchup. And there was some really interesting stuff happened. And then we got half an hour of the way through, and then I'd realised that I'd forgotten to press record, which I'm slightly blaming on the technology, because I thought I pressed record, but then it signed me out. That's the story I'm going with. But we're definitely going to go with a few more of those. And Merrick has set up his own little YouTube channel as well, which he's calling Mumble, M-U-M-B-B-L. So do check out his first commentary on a game, which is quite fun, and has a particularly nice surprise towards the end. So definitely worth looking into that one, and it's brilliant that people are looking into commentary a bit more. There's quite a lot that can be learned in terms of tactics, and one of the massive bits of advice that's given to people when they're learning to play is to replay games on Fumble, which is really, really simple to do. And you can search for particular coaches, you can find the best Dark Elf coach on there or whatever if you want to learn Dark Elves, and just find their games. And then you can replay them at any speed you want. So you can skip to interesting bits. You can look for setups and all that sort of thing. And the YouTube is just bringing an extra element to that sort of tactical side. I will put a little bit of an extract from some of the recording that we did onto the end of this, so that people can get a little bit of a flavour on it. And then they can... search out more if they want to, and definitely get involved if you are a Fumble coach, and just add one of your teams to the group. So have a search on the forum for YouTube or commentary, I think it is best to, and then find the group, add yourself, and then there's a clever little add-in for Chrome that means that it's possible to highlight all the coaches who have signed up to that group. And so anyone who wants to do a commentary match can see all those who have signed up to have their matches commentated on. Otherwise, there is a logistical problem with doing a commentary and then having to check the permissions of the people afterwards. When we did our first commentary, I did it on El Yuki and Kayford, both of whom I met in person. So I thought they would be reasonably okay with having it recorded. But obviously that's not always possible because there are hundreds and thousands of coaches, not hundreds of thousands, hundreds of coaches on Fumble, and it's difficult to know what all of them are thinking. Other Blood Bowl that I've been doing recently, since the last NAFcast, I've been to the Crum Bowl, which is another local tournament of ours. I do try not to talk about sort of just tournaments that I've been to too much, but one of the interesting things about this one is that they have a new players award, and so there were 45 coaches, I think, no, it must have been 44, even number, 44 coaches playing, and of those, I think there were 15 who qualified for the new coaches award. And the new coaches is for those who have played three or fewer NAF games. And this is a really nice innovation, really. And the idea of the tournament, it's only three games in a day, and it's a one-day tournament. And it's nice and simple to set up. And it's meant to be sort of very welcoming for new players. And it does work that way. And as well as the new players, there were lots of youngsters as well. The Caterham crew came up from their school in South London, and it's always fantastic to see them, and the teachers deserve a lot of credit for that. Deserve less credit for taking that horrible Nurgle team to the NAF Championship last year, but they do get credit for getting the kids encouraged in Blood Bowl. Hopefully they will stay with it for a few years to come. And it was actually fantastic. I went to the Arbel as well and played one guy there who was at Caterham School and now has left, but plays a load of Blood Bowl for sort of independently. He's carried it on, which is great. So I started this NAFcast talking about rules clarification. So I started the NAFcast talking about refereeing at the World Cup. And one of the reasons that I wanted to do this is that I've written the rules clarifications document on the NAF.net, which is a nice little resource, if I do say so myself. And what it's done is it's basically brought together all the different rules clarifications that have happened all the way back to the Specialist Games Forum, was where it originally came from, and then on to TFF. And whenever a rule has been clarified, I've tried to bring it into this one document so that everyone gets in the one place. There have been quite a few comments on it, and I've tried to sort of incorporate those as well, but it not always necessarily successfully, and not everyone's going to be entirely happy with it. I just sort of wanted to talk about the point of the document, which is that these are the official as it's going to get, rules clarifications. You can always change the rules if you want for your league. You can change the rules for your tournament. You can do whatever you like. It's a flexible game. But if anyone does want a sort of hard and fast ruling, then this is designed to be the closest you're going to get. There have been some strange ones come up recently. And Gaelic Starscraper has, Tom Anders, who wrote the rule book, has clarified them. But in clarifying them, he has made a few eyebrows be raised recently, which is quite fun. So I thought it would be worth highlighting a few of those. One of them was about the ball and chain, which is the clarification was given that when you do your ball and chain move, you roll for the direction of the move first, and then you roll the go for it. And the reason for this is that traditionally, when you do a go for it, you say where you're going to go, and then if you fail the go for it roll, you fall over in that square. And so this is a sort of extension of that you roll for direction for a ball and chain, and then you move the person there, and then you do the go for it. But obviously, what happens when you do a ball and chain move is that if someone is in that square that you're moving into, you bash them. And so it can happen that the Fnatic can do a block, pow down a player, then do the go for it, and then fall over themselves. And I've never actually seen it played this way, but that seems to be the clarification that was given. So you sort of have to decide whether you're going to play it that way in your league or if you're going to play it that way in your tournament. And it might be worth having a quick conversation. I'll probably try and have a conversation with the other refs at the World Cup as to how this one is going to be played, because there will be a few stunty players. I know of at least one goblin coach who's going to be taking goblins. They may not be the most common race, but they certainly won't be the least common either, I don't think. It'll be interesting to see the range of races that are taken. Which were the other ones that came up? Sort of having a look through. There's stuff on there about the range ruler and the throwing ranges. And someone was saying that that's not a clarification, that's a sort of change the rules, because the official one is the range ruler. And that's true, but the throwing range grid is in very common use, so it's definitely a good idea to be familiar with it. Lots of people have given up on the range ruler completely, except for interceptions. And then for interceptions, there is a application and a grid as well. And so the app is for tablets and for iPods and things, iPhones, I'm not very techy, iPhones and things as well, and I think, and that shows you, so if you have your starting square and your finishing square, it shows all the interceptions squares that should be able to intercept if you're using the range ruler correctly. Bribes is an interesting one. Some people don't realise that you can use as many bribes as you want on one sending off roll, so if you really want your death roll on the pitch and you fail your first sending off, then you can use, so you fail your first bribe, then you can use another bribe on the same roll, which is, I think, almost unique in terms of re-rolling rolls in Blood Bowl. There was an interesting one about the ball going off in the corner of the pitch, and I've put an appendix in there. Basically, if this is where you scatter the ball, you're right in the corner of the pitch, and you roll, for example, a six, so it goes diagonally off the corner of the pitch. And this is extremely uncommon, and as long as both coaches agree, it doesn't really matter what you do. But someone has done the mathematical analysis and suggested a reasonable way of doing it, which is quite fun. There's a whole sequence of diving tackle and shadowing interaction. That was another one about ball and chain. You can use a re-roll on the direction of movement. Again, different to other scatter rolls, in that you can't normally re-roll where the ball scatters to. But because the direction of movement is to do with the player can use a re-roll. So that one's pretty clear-cut, that if you are using the ball and chain and you're doing the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for direction, you can use a re-roll on that one. Which is fun. One that lots of people don't realise with break tackle is that you apply it after the dice roll, particularly if you're not a very frequent player of Blood Bowl. That does come as a surprise that break tackle can only be used once, but you apply it after you have rolled the dice. So if you roll a six to dodge, or a five or a six usually, then you can save your break tackle and do another blitz, and then use another dodge later on with break tackle. Which is cool. There's stuff on journeyman, that journeyman are optional. You can go into a game with 10 players or fewer if you want to, but that's one that's house ruled quite often, especially in the cyanide game. Cyanide applies journeyman automatically. So then there's a certain amount of chat on there, which is quite fun. And thanks to everyone who's commented on there, because I did make a load of mistakes along the way, and I think I have corrected them. Oh yeah, and then there's a massive discussion about stunned players and what happens if you stun a player who is already stunned on your turn. So the only applications of this really are vampires who bite players on their own turn. So what's happened is that a player on the other person's turn stuns your one of your thralls, say, and so turns face down. So they miss your next turn. But during that turn, your vampire fails a bloodlust and bites that same player. The ruling that was given pretty clearly was that you do not turn that player over at the end of your turn. So you cannot unstun a player on the turn that they are given, that they are stunned. And so this, someone did point out that then you need some sort of way of marking the fact that some of your players do turn over from stunned, and then this one player doesn't turn over from stunned, and said that that was a reason for not doing it. So it's one of those ones that doesn't come up very often, but if you do have a vampire coach in your league, then it might be worth house ruling that one. And again, that might be one that we look at and clarify for the World Cup. It'll be interesting to see what approach people want to take. Like, it would probably be sensible to go with the clarifications document, but that conversation hasn't been had yet. And then there's a fun one about what happens to the ball if you get a pitch invasion result and everyone is stunned and then you get a touchback, and things like that, which is lots of fun. Happened in the NAF Championships last year. And I can't even remember. I think it just goes in the middle of the pitch, or you choose a player and it scatters off them, or something along those lines. There's a good clarification of the throw teammate setup, which some people have found quite useful. And the whole thing can be made into a PDF and printed off if you want to. And so that's quite a lot of fun. So I think I will stop there. That's everything that's happening in the Blood Bowl world, as far as I'm concerned. I've made some more mugs, which has just occurred to me because I'm drinking from mine from last year. I'm doing another 30. Did a run of 80 NAF mugs last year, which went down really well at the NAF Championships. And then when I realised that I was going to be attending again, I made a load more for either players who missed out last year, or players who've just joined the NAF since last year, or players who wanted another one because they're that popular, which is really nice to see. And they only come out at 5 each. A little bit of work, but, you know, don't mind doing that. It's good fun. I'll sign off now, and I'll stick a little bit of the fumble commentary on the end, and then I will speak to you again after the NAF Championships with a whole load of stuff. Probably some joint stuff with the Double Skulls guys, and as well as some individual stuff as well. I'm going to try and get some interviews with various people. Might pop a few NAF staff in the corner and stick a phone under their noses. Maybe even Jervis if he turns up again. That'd be really good. All right then. Cheers. Bye.
Looks like a pretty standard Amazon build. All of the... that's interesting.
He's got sure hands. Yeah, which is... People do that occasionally, but...
He's got guard on the thrower and sure hands on the blitzer, which I would have thought the other way around would be...
Well, people quite often carry with the blitzer because of the blodge.
Well, that's a good point, yeah.
Is there a throw? Right, the thrower must be...
The thrower's got guard.
Must be the double.
Yeah.
What's the point in that, though?
That doesn't make my... I mean, what I've, like I said, I'd be inclined to have obviously done it the other way around, but what do I know? I took a very similar list to the Arbol tournament.
Yes.
And came in top 10, which for me is like a hell of a result. So it's a very strong list.
It is. I'm not sure I've seen it win. I know that someone took it to Thrud last year.
Actually, the assurance makes some sense because the worst matchup is actually not Dwarves, but Udars.
Oh, I see. Oh, right, yeah, so not for this game.
But to be honest, I did not include Shurhands, because guard is not too bad against Wooders, and it's great against everything else.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh. Well, okay.